Tonight we come to a most encouraging and strengthening point. But how much or even whether we would enter into it requires that we exercise our spirit of faith.
Amen.
And that we also exercise our heart not to have an evil heart of unbelief. The title is Experiencing and Enjoying the All-Inclusive Christ as the Good Land, a land in which we do not lack anything.
Amen?
Amen? Do you believe you are in such a land? This point comes from Deuteronomy 8:9, which is in your scripture reading. Actually, just one phrase in this verse. And I do hope, brothers and sisters, there would be two verses that could be infused into us, that would be constituted into us, that could become a kind of a supply to us, that when we touch these verses, everything that we fellowship tonight will just come forth. And that is this verse, Deuteronomy 8:9. It starts this way. It's just the first half. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. You will not lack anything in it.
Amen.
And just this phrase. You will not lack anything
Amen. In
it.
Amen.
Shall we say that together? You will not lack anything in it. I hope that verse stays with us. The other, I consider this a kind of a sister portion in Colossians. We're going to spend a lot of time in Colossians tonight. Colossians chapter 2 verse 10, just the first part. We'll come to it in the outline, but I want to give it to you now. And you have been made full in Him.
Amen.
I will say it again. And you have been made full in Him. Let's all declare it. And you have been made full in Him. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The more we touch the word, the more we have faith. I hope we will touch these verses again and again. Romans 1. Christ, as the preeminent and all-inclusive one, is the allotted portion of the saints in the light for our experience and enjoyment. In Colossians 1:12 is the verse here. I think many of us are familiar with this. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. Saints, I think we can see this, that when Paul was writing the book of Colossians, it seems like the good land was before him. You know, our brother brought out the other night that when he wrote 1 Corinthians, when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, you see the Christ is our Passover. So you see they're coming out of Egypt. You see Christ as the manna. But in 1 Corinthians, where's the good land? The good land is not there. Actually, the good land is in 2 Corinthians as the grace. But I tell you, when Paul was writing Colossians, it just seems like he had the good land before him and the history of God's people as a kind of controlling view. And so he writes this verse to the Colossians that the Father has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. So he was letting them know that land that our forefathers entered into, actually, that's Christ. And we as believers, we all have an allotted portion. And so point A develops this. The allotted portion refers to the lot of the inheritance as illustrated by the allotment of the good land of Canaan given to the children of Israel for their inheritance. This is in Joshua 14, the allotting of the land. So later on, and we'll come to this in chapter 2, Paul says, as you have received the Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. And there's another kind of view that Christ is a land that you can walk in. And then even more, he says, having been rooted. And surely when you talk about rooted, you're talking about land, right? It just has this view that we are, not only we have a portion of the land, we're in the land. We're rooted in the land. And then, actually, even the next verse is a warning. Don't let anyone carry you away, right? Beware lest anyone carry you off as spoil, because that's the history of Israel. Even beginning from Abraham, God brought him to the land, Satan takes him away. And then back, and a couple of times. And then with Isaac and with Jacob, of course, the children of Israel. It's a battle for the land. For the whole Old Testament is this picture. And so, Paul warns, don't let anyone take you away from your land, right? Amen. So Christ is our land. And then B, the New Testament believer's allotted portion is not a physical land. We saw this the other night. It is the all-inclusive Christ as the life-giving Spirit. This is from Message 4. I hope we remember. Actually, I'd like to read this from Message 4.1a. The blessing of the promised land corresponds with the blessing of the land promised to Abraham. What an outstanding vision Paul had that the Spirit was actually the fulfillment of the blessing of Abraham. What a revelation. And then in our outline, it adds this. This is actually from the footnote in Galatians 3:14. Actually, the Spirit as the realization of Christ in our experience is the good land, as the source of God's bountiful supply for us to enjoy. Actually, the Spirit as the good land is the source of the bountiful supply. Did you ever realize that when Paul talks in Philippians, you know, in Philippians, he says this will turn out to salvation through your prayer and what? The bountiful supply of the Spirit. Paul was enjoying the good land, the reality of the good land. Where? In a Roman prison. In a Roman prison, saints. But he had before him this view. That this Christ is not limited. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, I hope we could all see this. This Christ is not limited to a training meeting, to a conference meeting. Of course, what a Christ we enjoy together. But in our daily life, wherever we are, this land can be our enjoyment.
Amen.
This land can be our enjoyment. That certainly was Paul's experience. By enjoying the riches of the land, the believers in Christ are built up to be Christ's body as the house of God and the kingdom of God. Of course, here we have the land, the house, and the kingdom. This should remind us of 1 Kings 8:48, when Solomon prayed that prayer. You know, he talks about the land. You pray toward the land. You pray toward the house. You pray toward the city, right? And actually, what we see here, brothers and sisters, are kind of a line that has been brought out. When we enjoy the riches of the land, what comes out? What comes out? Image. God's house for his expression. It's the spontaneous result of our enjoyment. And what else comes out? The city. God's dominion. Our exercise of God's authority. The kingdom. Saints, as Paul, in that prison, Christ was his portion, his enjoyment, and he was in the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. Even there, he had God's image and God's dominion. And that can be the same to all of us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, C. And here, saints, in point C, we're going to spend a little time here. A very, very important point related to our experience of Christ as the land. Our experience of Christ as the land. And I hope we see in this outline, there are several very practical points that if we could see something, we could get some help in our experience. Remember, our burden is experience and application. Experience and application. C says, we must be in the light in order to enjoy the all-inclusive Christ as the good land. Light is the presence of God. And this, again, is based on Colossians 1:12, but especially the last three words. And sometimes it's possible we jump over this and don't pay that much attention. But I just, in preparing for this fellowship, I just thank the Lord for his faithfulness through the Apostle Paul to inspire him just to write these last three words, in the light. Oh, without this, there's not an entrance. The allotted portion of the saints. Oh, you may say, praise the Lord. But it doesn't end there. The allotted portion of the saints in the light. Why is this important, saints? Our enjoyment of Christ is in the light. And what is light? And I hope we pick up this definition at the end of point C. I have it underlined. I hope we would underline this, highlight this. Light is the presence of God. Light is the presence of God. In the old creation, we know in Genesis chapter 1, something happened to damage the old creation, and God came in to restore, to recreate. What was the first thing he did in that process? He caused light to appear. Light was the basic factor of that restoration. And there's a principle. In the new creation, with us, how did God begin? Think about it. We were unbelievers. We were there in darkness, sitting in the shadow of death, right? And one day, light sprang up, whatever our situation was. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, because the God who said, out of darkness, light shall shine, is the one who shined in our hearts. One day, this God shined into our hearts.
Amen.
I remember that day for me. I remember that day. I think of so many of our second generation. Some of you were 10 or 11 years old, 12 years old. And you grew up in a Christian home and you had all the things. You had all the things and you were good boys and girls. Well, some of you. But one day, God shined into your heart. You remember that day? God shined into your heart. And there was a brightness. There was something real. I was recalling the other day, two young, you know, just they grew up among us. And I actually was involved that day in sharing the gospel at the children's meeting. I remember after the meeting, these two young ones, they went to tell their parents that they got saved, you know. And so they testified to their parents, and I remember the two of them. It was a little boy and a little girl. They held hands like this, and they started jumping like this. Our names are in the book of life. Our names are in. Just like, you know, just so full of glee. Many of us had a kind of experience like this. There's a brightness. The Lord is real to us. The freshness. But what happened to us? Many, many of us, we could testify. Something eventually happened to extinguish the light. At least to dim the light. Is that your experience? Something happened to dim the light. And very often, you know what it was? It was religious duty. Some kind of religious duty. I know those of us who were, I myself was born and raised in Christianity, and then we had some joy, but we certainly lost it because of the law. Because of, by the law, what I mean is, be a good believer, be a good Christian. We tried our best. Read the Bible, Christians should read the Bible. All those things that should be a help. Sometimes they're not a help. They extinguish the light. But our young people growing up among us are not immune from those same kind of experiences. What do we need? We need the God who said, out of darkness light shall shine, to shine one more time into our hearts. And thank the Lord, by His mercy, He does that. When we come together in conferences, when we come together in meetings, sometimes, just opening the Bible again, the Lord will shine. We have these points here. We have these points. 6 points. What is the light? God is light, number one. 2, the Word of God is light. Surely the Word of God is light. Many of us have experienced this, that it was a particular word in one meeting, or a particular word when we were just reading, maybe even out of religious duty reading. But that day, something was different. God had mercy, and through His Word, shined into our heart. And some of us said, what happened to me? Did you ever say that? Before the Lord? After the meeting, you were touched with something. I remember this even in high school. Then you go to the Lord, and I say, Lord, what happened to me? I didn't even notice. I didn't know I was in darkness. I was going along in the church life, but I lost that sweet brightness that I have right now. That's the kingdom of the Son of His love. We were transferred out of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. There's something so sweet about the light. I was touched the other night when our brother Ed mentioned this verse, Luke 11:36. I don't know if you recall this. It says this, if therefore, and that's not on your outline, if therefore your whole body is full of light and does not have any dark part, the whole will be full of light, as when the lamp with its rays illuminates you. This phrase really touched me. Does not have any dark part. There have been so many times in my Christian journey that the Lord shined and He said, there's a dark part there. And I didn't know. I thought, I've been praying this prayer, Lord, make your home in my heart, nearly every single day of my life, since I was in high school, since Brother Lee told us that we should pray this prayer every day. Amen. I'm going to pray this every day. And I have, by His mercy. Lord, make your home in my heart. I don't know what happened. Do you know what happened to you? Do you know when it was that you were maybe a little negligent? And somehow the authority of darkness had some ground. We gave some ground to the authority of darkness. And what the issue was, what? A dark part. There was a dark part. But praise the Lord for His mercy. He has come to us. He's come to us to shine into our heart. We have here in the Roman numeral C, we have this cross, this verse, Isaiah 2:5. It says, house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of Jehovah. Come and let us walk in the light of Jehovah. The children of Israel, they had the temple. They had the law, God's word. They had the priests. They had the sacrifices. But God sent Isaiah to say, house of Jacob, come to the light. What does that imply? House of Jacob, you're in darkness. When I reflected on this, I thought, oh Lord Jesus, this just describes different points in my life. It's not that I ever abandoned the church life. I went on in the church life, even very faithful most of the time. by the Lord's mercy. But I have to say, there were times that that brightness, that shining was missing. And the Lord had mercy. Not specifically this, but in essence this. The Lord came to me and said, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of Jehovah. Come back. When you come back, you enjoy your portion. When you come back, everything that we've talked about in this training is real. But when there's even one part dark, we have consent. We say, yeah, amen. Good point. But no reality. Oh, that we would all walk in the light. Maybe I'll conclude this section I didn't finish reading the point, sorry. The Word of God is light. 3, Christ is light. Christ is light. 4, the life of Christ is light. We know this. John 1:4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. When we're enjoying the life, that life is the light. We're full of that brightness, that inner shining. Then the believers are light. We become light. But not because we have light in ourselves. God Himself is the light. He's the source. So when He's in us and we enjoy Him, then He's expressed as the light. Even here we have Philippians 2, among whom you shine as luminaries in the world. You know, a luminary has light in it. It's not light itself. It allows the light to shine. And then 6, the church as a lampstand shining with the light. I think many of us have experienced this. Here we have Psalm 73, 16 and 17. The psalmist has a murmuring and complaining. We've been talking a lot about murmuring and complaining. And then in verse 17, Psalm 73, 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God. The sanctuary of God on one hand is our spirit, but it's also the church. I think very often we've experienced this. It was in the church meeting that God had mercy on us to shine the light, to wake us up, to call us home. Four practical ways to walk in the light. I'll just mention these 4 points. Number 1, contact the Lord more and more in a genuine way. We just contact Him. He is the light. Number 2, follow the inner anointing. This is sometimes where we get negligent and lose the shining. We stop following the inner anointing. If we're careful to follow the inner anointing, the shining will continue, even gets brighter. Number 3, fellowship with others in a genuine way. When we have fellowship with others and are transparent and genuine, very often we get light. That's a big blessing in my church life, I know, through the years, to go to others, to open myself to older brothers and just be genuine. And I'm saved from self-deception. Oh, let me read this other verse. I just recalled this. This was Luke 11:35. It says, watch out, therefore, that the light which is in you is not darkness. Do you remember that verse? Now, when I was a young believer, I thought, what does that mean? How can the light in you be darkness? If it's light, it's not darkness. But here it says, watch out, therefore, that the light which is in you is not darkness. At least in a subjective way, I could tell you many times, I thought it was light until I went to one of the brothers and opened in a genuine way. And then I received the help. I realized I was in darkness. I was in darkness. Thank the Lord for being rescued from the darkness. And then number 4, be in the church life and attend the church meetings. Praise the Lord for the blessing of light in the church meetings. Aren't you thankful Paul wrote those 3 words? The portion of the saints in the light. Romans 2 says, Colossians 2, 6 and 7 reveals that Christ, as the good land, a land in which we do not lack anything, is the rich soil in which we have been rooted, so that we may grow with the elements that we absorb from the soil. And here we have Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Especially verse 7 says, having been rooted and being built up. Here, saints, another very practical point, which might be enlightening to us as to why we don't have that much reality or enjoyment of Christ as our portion, of Christ as the land. And that is, we don't absorb him. Or more practical, we don't take enough time to absorb him. We need to take time to absorb him. A, God is the real farmer, and Paul was one of his co-workers. Paul planted the believers into Christ as the soil. B says, day by day, we need to take time to absorb Christ, the one into whom we have been planted. We must take time to enjoy the Lord as the all-inclusive land, so that all the elements of Christ as the rich soil may be absorbed into us, for us to be made full in him in our experience. Here we have our second verse. Colossians 2:10. You remember the verse? And you have been made full in him. You say amen to that verse?
Amen.
We believe that verse?
Amen.
But we must go a step beyond belief. We must go to experience. It's good to say amen. That's the first step. But now we have to experience. How do you experience? By absorbing. Absorbing the elements. We need to take time to absorb Christ. You know, in the first message, on the matter of fighting for the land, our brother mentioned this, that God will remove all the enemies. God will fight for us. But it requires the cooperation of his people to take the initiative to defeat the enemy. And then God will do the defeating in your defeating. I believe that the matter of cooperating with God to take initiative starts here. You want to fight the battle? The first thing to do is take time to absorb Christ. Take time. You know, we have this hymn 643 in our hymn book. Take time to behold him. Actually, the original lyrics are this. Take time to be holy. H-O-L-Y. So, take time to behold him. I think that's an improvement. But even better, take time to absorb him. Absorb him. Okay, one says, if we would absorb the riches of Christ as the soil, we need to have tender new roots. Tender new roots. You know, grew up in the city. I don't know much about farming or horticulture or agriculture, but I do know this. I know that plants grow because of the roots. That I know. And more specifically, the roots grow root hairs, tiny root hairs. And it's actually through the root hairs that the absorption takes place. Through the fine, you know, if you actually pull up a plant, you see the root hairs. They're so fine. They're so fine. We need that in Christ. What is that in our experience? More time. More time to be more fine. F-I-N-E. With him. And we need the tender roots. We need the new roots Saints, we should not let ourselves get old before the Lord. Every morning, every day, we should renew our heart and our love for the Lord. Oh Lord Jesus, here I am again. I need you again. We exercise our new heart and our new spirit to start the new day. Under this point, we have this verse in Mark, chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. This is the parable of the sower. And in the second of the four categories of soil is the ones with the rocks, the stones. And the growth, we know there, the seed, because of the soil being occupied, the roots can't grow. The roots can't grow. And then when the sun comes up, the growth is, right? The sun is positive. The sun is supposed to help growth. But if you read in Matthew 13, the same portion, in the footnotes there, I'll tell you, Matthew 13, verse 6, note 1. You don't have to turn to it. I'll tell you the key line I want to emphasize. Brother Lee says that the scorching heat becomes a death blow. A death blow to the seed. I've seen this, sorry to say, in many, too many of our second generation. Something up, in that parable, the Lord said, opposition arises because of the word. Something negative, affliction, some kind of suffering. And if we don't have the roots, something happens. Sometimes I've seen the heart gets hard. I mean, I remember this from my own companions when I was in high school. And through all the years, so many dear ones. Our children. Oh, we have to help one another to have the roots. To have the roots. When you have the roots, actually, the opposition, the affliction, the suffering, the persecution helps you grow. We've seen that too. We've experienced that. We think, oh, this is a negative situation. Actually, we get closer to the Lord. We dig in the word more. We're more desperate for the truth because of the opposition. It helps us grow. But what's the key? Roots. Are the roots going down? I love these verses in Jeremiah. This also was part of our one of the earlier messages. Jeremiah 17. Blessed is the man who trusts in Jehovah and whose trust Jehovah is. He will be like a tree transplanted beside water, which sends out its roots by a stream and will not be afraid when heat comes, for its leaves remain flourishing, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought and will not cease to bear fruit. Oh, we need to send forth our roots. We need to send forth our roots. This comes, saints, by taking time. Taking time. Point 2 says, we need to forget our situation, our condition, our failures, and our weaknesses, and simply take time to absorb the Lord. As we take time to absorb Him, we grow with the growth of God in us for the building up of the body of Christ. We had this in a previous message, right? Just as I am. The enemy in our times with the Lord, the enemy would just bring back all the weaknesses, the failures, all those things. We should remember, we are people of today. When I'm in front of the Lord, I say, Lord, I'm here today. For everything of the past, I have your blood. Thank you for the blood. And then we think of the future. We get discouraged. Oh, I can't make it. I can't take it. Oh, we need to turn our focus. Lord, I am here with you. I am here with you. We need to exercise, saints. We need to exercise to take captive every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Else the enemy will bombard us with the darts, the flaming darts. Under this point, we have a few verses I want to highlight. Matthew 14, verses 22 and 23. It's talking about the Lord Jesus. It says, He went up to the mountain privately to pray. And when night fell, He was there alone. I like to highlight these two words, privately and alone. Saints, we need these times, privately and alone, to learn to fellowship with the Lord. You know, in this booklet, A Time with the Lord, Brother Lee encourages us to spend 30 minutes with the Lord every day. But in different places, including the Colossians life study, Brother Lee says, 10 minutes, at least 10 minutes. These 10 minutes. Some of you may remember our dear brother Benjamin Chen, who was with us in New York. One time he asked Brother Lee, Brother Lee, how come here you say 30, there you say 10, here you say this, there you say that, because there's different numbers. And Brother Lee's response was this, I'll take whatever I can get from the saint. I know that's a good answer. That's a good answer. So 10 minutes. If you take 10 minutes, take 10 minutes. But I'm going to tell you something, a little secret. If you want 10 quality minutes, you probably need to take 30 minutes. Because for 15 or 20 minutes, you'll be wandering in the mind. Unless you exercise to learn to discipline your mind under the authority of the Spirit. And it's possible to do that. It's possible to take captive the thought, to say, Satan, no, not today. Stop. And then just enjoy. But it takes practice. So 10 is good. 15 is better. 30 would be really good. Take time. The Lord Jesus did this privately and alone. Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? C says, our contact with the Lord should not be rushed. We must exercise our spirit to stay in the Lord's presence, to absorb Him. We must spend more time to absorb the Lord, to adore Him, to praise Him, to offer thanks to Him, and to speak to Him freely. Just to tell Him everything. Lord, I'm so happy. I'm so happy with something. Lord, I'm so sad. Lord, I'm just, why again? Just to pour out our inner being. Just whatever we feel at the time, just to talk to Him. But don't skip over the others. Adore Him. Thank Him. Actually, the verse Colossians 2 talks about rooted in Christ. It says abounding in thanksgiving. In every time that we spend with the Lord, whether it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, I hope there's a portion for thanksgiving. When you turn to thanksgiving, actually, it changes your perspective. It's not just about us and our situation, because the Lord is faithful. There's always something to thank Him for, always something to adore Him for. But saints, the main point here is, not rushed. Not rushed. We cannot absorb anything if we are in a hurry. It doesn't mean you don't enjoy. It doesn't mean the Lord is not faithful. It doesn't mean you don't get supply. Yes, you can get supply, but you don't absorb that much. The riches are not really deposited into our inner being in such a way to constitute us. Remember, this was mentioned already a couple of times, quietness is the source of spiritual strength. Remember this verse, Isaiah 30, 15. In returning and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and in trust will be your strength. Psalm 131, verse 2. Psalm 131, 2 says, "Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul." You know, it's not our mouth that needs to be quiet. It's our soul that needs to be quiet. Our mind needs to shut up and come under the subjection of our spirit. We can practice this. We can practice this. Psalm 23, very common verses 1 and 2. You know what that says? "The Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack anything." But you know what verse 2 is? "He makes me lie down." So do you want to know you're the shepherd as the one in whom you lack nothing? You have to let him make you lie down. And he'll lead us by waters of rest. And he'll restore our soul. Sometimes we have the times with the Lord, but our soul is not restored. Actually, at the end of the time, we're more anxious than we were before we sat down with the Lord. Why? Because we didn't learn to be quiet before him. And maybe we were more conscious of the time element, how much time we have, than of the person of the Lord. You know, there's another verse, we skipped over it, where the Lord says that the Lord got up early in the morning. Early in the morning. Sometimes the only way to have more time is to get up a little bit earlier. Many of us have had that transaction with the Lord. We talked about sitting at the Lord's feet. I love this hymn by Brother A.B. Simpson. 904. The second stanza says, "Like Mary, I sit at his feet. Like John, I recline on his breast. His presence is fullness of joy. His bosom is infinite rest." Oh, I hope that this could describe our times with the Lord. Not just to come, pray over two verses, get some supply, and go live our day. Better than nothing. I don't want to weaken anyone's experience. I want to uplift the quality. I don't want to weaken. Oh, that we would take these things to the Lord. Lord, I'd like to take more time. More time to absorb you. D says, "The growth of the body depends on the growth of God and the increase of God within us in a very subjective way. The growth of the body is the growth of God's building. The actual building of the church is by the believer's growth in life." Actually, what this shows us is that as we grow with the growth of God, that's what Colossians says, as we hold the head, we grow with the growth of God. Actually, what is holding the head? Being rooted in Christ. It's the same thing. So, Colossians 2:19, holding the head, equals being rooted in him in Colossians 2:7. And it equals abiding in the vine in John 15. These are the same experience. And as we're holding the head, as we're rooted in him, what happens? Out from him, all the body. All the functions come out spontaneously from our abiding in him, absorbing him. Actually, what comes out? What comes out is the house and the city. What comes out is the accomplishment of God's eternal purpose without us trying, in a very spontaneous way, because the elements from the soil are being constituted into us. Okay, Romans 3. Oh, saints, Romans 3 is an outstanding revelation. This is from the life study of Colossians, the base of this point. Colossians 2, 8 through 15 presents a full description and definition of Christ as the soil in which we do not lack anything. As we take time to absorb him as the all-inclusive land, the facts in these verses become our experiences. The facts are in Christ, and the experience is by Christ and with Christ. So please note, the previous point was on Colossians 2, 6 and 7. This point is on Colossians 2, 8 through 15. So this is the next portion. What is it telling us? Well, if you read Colossians 2, 8 through 15, and we're going to get into these points in through this outline, so many things are mentioned there. The fullness. Christ is the fullness. We are made full in Him. And it says that we have the circumcision of Christ, which is his death applied to us. We have buried with Christ. We're made alive with Christ. No, raised with Christ. Then made alive with Christ. The handwriting of ordinances is wiped out. And then he makes a display of all the evil powers. So you wonder, what does this have to do with the soil? Actually, I tell you, how could we see this without the ministry of the age? But verses 6 and 7 show us we're planted in Christ. Then it says, beware that no one carries you off. So surely the picture is still in Paul's view. Don't be carried off. Stay in the soil. And then if you stay in the soil, what happens? All these points are the ingredients, the elements, the nutrients in the soil that we are absorbing as we enjoy Christ. So everything mentioned here becomes our experience. Oh, saints, what a revelation this is. A says, Christ as the soil is the one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells. Fullness refers not to the riches of God, but to the expression of the riches of God. What dwells in Christ is not only the riches of the Godhead, but the expression of the riches of what God is. 2 says, when we are rooted in Christ as the soil, we are made full in Him. We are filled up with all the divine riches to become His expression. 3, in Christ as the soil, we are filled, completed, perfected, satisfied, and thoroughly supplied. We do not lack anything. What is this, saints? What is this for our experience? This great verse, which is a kind of outstanding revelation, 2:9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You think, oh, well, that's a great revelation. That's too high. I don't understand. Actually, the fullness has to do with the expression. Christ is the full expression of the triune God. And He, this right now, this is one of the elements in the soil. So when we absorb Christ, even we're not thinking about this verse, when we're enjoying Him in calmness, in quietness, in private, where we're enjoying Him, it doesn't seem like much is happening. But actually, as we're enjoying Christ, this element of the fullness of the expression is being wrought into us. And then we go live our day, whether in our office or in our school or with our family, and spontaneously, you will express Christ. And God's purpose will be fulfilled with you. The house will be there. And probably the kingdom will be there too, in a kind of spontaneous way. Actually, this may not be with much consciousness. Our only consciousness is, I have light. I have the presence of God. I have peace in my heart. The Lord's with me. But actually, you have God's expression. I remember one time I was in an office when I was working at the accounting firm, and I had a pocket New Testament, and I bent over to do something and it slipped out, and then my coworker was there. Says, "What's that?" And I said, "Oh, that's the Bible." He says, "You're a Christian." I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I knew it." I was so happy. that he wasn't surprised that I was a Christian. But he said this, you know, he was actually a very new recruit with us. And I hadn't really gotten to know him yet. I hadn't gotten to testify to him. But he said, I knew there was something about you. I think many of us have this kind of experience. That there was something about you that was different. We had saints spontaneously, we could have the expression of God without trying so hard. You know, in point three here, it has all these words. In Christ as the soil, we're filled, completed, perfected, satisfied, and thoroughly supplied. Actually, these all are an explanation, a development of this phrase, made full. You know our second verse for today, Colossians 2:10? And you in him are made full. This phrase, made full, means what? Filled, completed, perfected, satisfied, and thoroughly supplied. That one phrase in Greek means all of this. B says, Christ as the soil is the head of all rule and authority. Saints, when we're absorbing him, and we're absorbing him, we are one with him in his ascension, like we heard in the last message. This, his ascension, and his rulership over all rule, his headship over all rule and authority is part of the elements of the soil. We can experience this as we absorb him. See, in Christ as the soil, there's the killing power which puts the flesh to death. Amen. This is verse 11. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands in the putting off of the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. What's this? The cross. Saints, when we absorb him, we're enjoying the all-inclusive spirit. Remember that all-inclusive spirit, the type in Exodus 30, the hin of oil with all the ingredients. Some of the ingredients there, what? Myrrh and cinnamon. The sweetness of his death and the effectiveness of his death. Spontaneously, something is being worked into us when we enjoy him. It could be, we enjoy him in the morning with not much realization, and then we're living our day, and a situation comes up, and a week ago, a month ago, the spontaneous murmuring would come up. But today, as the murmuring is coming up, there's something in our heart that says, no, 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 no. And we go, amen, amen, amen. There's the grace. There's just the grace, like, yeah, just shut up, don't say anything. You know what that is? That's the circumcision of Christ in the soil. It works, brothers and sisters. It works. These are real experiences that we have in our family life, with our spouses, with our children. D, in Christ as the soil, there's an element that causes us to be buried. E, in Christ as the soil, there is the element that causes us to be raised up. F, in Christ as the soil is an element that vivifies us.
Amen.
You know, Colossians 2:13, he made us alive together with him. This phrase in Greek is the same as 1 Corinthians 15:45, life-giving. So, it could be translated, he gave us life together with him. G, in Christ as the soil, there is the wiping out of the handwriting in ordinances. Oh, dear saints, we all have ordinances inscribed in our mentality. We all have ordinances. And many of you here, you're going on gospel trips, right, in a month or so. Don't take your ordinances to the church that you're going to serve. It's very easy to do that. You go there with the ordinances of the FTTA. You go there with the ordinances of your home church. Absorb Christ and just minister Christ and have the grace to just go along. Next year, we hope many will go there, right, to France to participate in the Lord's move. Oh, the saints from America, may we have the grace not to go with our ordinances. Not to go with, we give the saints there a little help. No, that little help is just your ordinance. Sorry. May we just absorb Christ. And as we're enjoying Him, all our ordinances are wiped out.
Amen.
Wiped away.
Amen.
And we just enter in to the labor. And we have the grace to just say, Amen. And not be bothered by anything. Oh, that's rest and enjoyment, isn't it? That's really peaceful. H, in Christ as the soil, there is the victory over the evil spirits in the atmosphere. Saints, even unbelievers realize there's something in the air. We have grown up enveloped in an evil atmosphere in this world. Believers certainly know, but even unbelievers, they try to be good, they try but they just can't do it. We shouldn't be the same. Why? Because, listen to this, Colossians 2:15. These are the elements in the soil. Stripping off the rulers and the authorities. He made a display of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That victory is in the soil. If we just take time to absorb Him, that victory will be our constitution and experience. Amen. Okay, Romans 4. Furthermore, Christ as the soil is the history and mystery of God with all the riches of His person and processes. Oh, okay. These points, we have five main points here. Five main points with 31 sub-points. Surely, as our brother said before, all of this could be a whole conference. So I'm just going to pretty much read from here on in. These are the elements in the soil. Christ is God.
Amen.
Christ is man.
Amen.
Christ is our necessities.
Amen.
Christ is our divine provision.
Amen.
And Christ is to the church.
Amen.
Under Christ is man, we have 14 points. As a man, He's the apostle, praise the Lord. He's the one sent from God to us. You know, God reached you. God was sent to you. Wasn't God sent to you? He was sent as a man. That's how I met Him. He came as a man and I met Him. Two, He's the prophet to speak for God, to turn God's people back. Hasn't He been the prophet in your life to call you back? Three, He is the counselor. We should always consider Him. Speak to Him when we don't understand, when we don't know what to do. Oh, I tell you, I've been enjoying Him as my counselor since I was 12 years old. I just would talk to Him about everything that was in my heart. And through the years, that just never stopped. Till today, He's my counselor. This morning, I opened to Him as my counselor. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to cover 31 points in the allotted time. I don't know what to do. Counselor, wonderful counselor. But He became my Prince of Peace. Amen. Four, He is the teacher. Isn't He your teacher? You know, in Isaiah 30, we have the verses we told you in returning and rest. You will be saved in quietness and trust. He'll be your strength. A few verses later, it says this, verse 20. 20 and 21. Isaiah 30, 20 and 21. Your teacher will no longer hide himself in a corner, but your eyes will see your teacher. And your eyes will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or turn to the left. Isn't that how it is that the Lord is the teacher? It's like he's right behind us. And we say, turn left. Amen. When we say amen, we enjoy him as our portion. Because he's our teacher, and we keep walking in the light. Praise the Lord for our indwelling teacher. Five, he's the leader. Oh, saints, if we would have a sincere heart to follow him, he will be our leader. Six, he's the master. Wasn't that touching about the Lord Jesus, that he was limited not only by time and space, but limited by the Father? The Father was his master. Who's our master? Or maybe in more blunt terms, who's our boss? Who's the boss of our day? Seven, he's the slave. Amazing. He's both the master and the slave. Isaiah 42:1, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. In Luke 22:27, I am in your midst as one who serves. Eight, he's the shepherd. Isn't he our shepherd? The shepherd of our soul. Oh, saints, every point. That's why I wanted to sing this hymn, 5:10. Oh, what a Christ have I. Oh, what a Christ have I. Actually, many of these points are found in that hymn. 9, he is the witness. 10, he is the priest. 11, he's the mediator. 12, he is the surety. 13, he is the king. 14, he is the bridegroom.
Amen.
What can you say except wonderful?
Amen.
But we say wonderful two times.
Wonderful!
Wonderful! Because that's his name too. He's the wonderful counselor. Then see, he's our necessities. He is our light. He is our air. He is our water. He is our food. He is our clothing. He is our lodging. He is our enjoyment and rest. Isn't it something that everything necessary, the basic necessities of human life, that's what these are. In the scripture, Christ is the reality of every one of them. Look at the verses, if you would spend time to look at the verses. He's our light. He's our air. He's our clothing. We need to put him on every morning. But saints, you may have everything. You may have for your necessities humanly, physically, but if you don't have rest, if you don't have enjoyment, something's missing. But Christ is the reality of every positive thing.
Amen.
All these, dear saints, are elements in the soil. If we would just take time, take a little more time, this could become more and more our experience. D, Christ is our divine provision. He is our power. He is our wisdom. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. He's our power. You know, in 1 Corinthians 1:24, that word power is actually dynamite. For anything, you need the wisdom and the power. And Christ is that to us. Christ is the power. Christ is the I can life. I really enjoyed this. I was reading in the life study of Hebrews, and Brother Lee has this phrase. In life's dictionary, there's no such words as I can't. Life only says I can. And then he says there, if you're asked to give a word in the meeting, you have to say, I can. No problem. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, where are we? Okay. Then he's our righteousness for our past. He's righteousness for our yesterday, actually. He's our righteousness for whatever happened earlier today. He's our sanctification as the present. Dispensing himself, his transforming element, and he's our redemption for the future. Christ is to the church. One, he is the head of the body.
Amen.
Two, he is the body of the head.
Amen.
Isn't this marvelous? I think the outsiders would say, what is this? This is our Christ.
Amen.
He's both the head and the body.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He's the foundation. It comes from the verse. We don't make it up. It's from the verse. 3, he is the foundation of the church. 4, he's the cornerstone of the house of God. That's the one who joins. That's the one who joins you with the one that you would think is unimaginable to be joined with. That's the Jews and the Gentiles. We may not enter into that feeling that much, but if he could join the Jews and the Gentiles, he can join you with your roommate. Praise the Lord. 5, he is all the members of the new man. You may wonder, how can he be all the members? Well, it really just depends who's living. And our living depends on absorbing. Take time to absorb him. But dear saints, remember the promise of the Spirit. The reality of the land is the Spirit. All of these are in the Spirit. And finally, Romans 5. Christ, as our allotted portion, our unsearchably rich, good land, in which we do not lack anything, is our all-sufficient God and the great I Am, whom we can experience and enjoy day by day.
Amen.
What He is meets our every need in order to meet His need for the building up of His church as His body and the preparation of His church as His bride for His coming back. Saints, He's everything to us. He's our all-sufficient God. That's from Genesis 17, where God appears to Abraham as the Almighty One with an udder. U-D-D-E-R. The one to supply you what you need. And He is the great I Am. Jehovah. Whatever we need, He is. And as we enjoy Him, saints, as we enjoy Him, what He is meets our need. But in doing that, as we absorb Him, what comes out is the house and the city, the expression and the dominion to meet His need. He is accomplishing His purpose by our experience and enjoyment of Christ as the land. So saints, this is the land in which we do not lack anything. I hope we would really take this to heart, to be in the light, to enjoy our portion in the light, and that we would take time to absorb Him, so that all that we've talked about can be our experience. How about we sing this chorus again to 190, but sing 2 times, and then have some prayer with ones around us. Amen. The brothers, I guess, will lead us. Just the chorus, 2 times. Amen.